We are grateful to God, and it is written, give thanks to God in every situation, for that's the way God wants it. It is not always easy for us to thank God for everything. When we experience or receive something beautiful, we give thanks, sometimes two or three times, depending on how our heart is feeling, even if it is a little ailing. But when things are not so good, we don't give thanks at all. And the Holy Scripture says, give thanks to God for everything, in every situation. And that is even the way that He shows and reveals His salvation to us. But you have, yes, you say amen. You can easily say that. But we all have to learn that. And we are still human. And I said it at some point. Those who have not yet had difficulties will still have them. They will still have them. And so we will all have to get through it. I am not going to say much more this afternoon. We've had marvelous few hours. The only other scripture we could read is from James 5, which is very familiar to everyone. Here it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient therefore. And we would like to be able to say, at the end of our pilgrimage, as Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. God will give this to all of us. We spoke this morning about the fact that we are dealing with divine facts, and that which comes from God is from eternity and has taken us with it in time and brings us into eternity. And that is why we will enjoy the completion, even what happens during time, but much more throughout all eternity. After all, we will be with the Lord at all times. Who can really look forward to the fact that we will be with the Lord at all times? Imagine that. Yes, Brother Pesal, I'm happy when I see you smiling like that. You are still doing well. So, we will be with the Lord at all times. And the Lord will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And He will say, weep no more. It is all over. And we will realize that it was all worth it. If we take the examples of the prophets, the ways they had to walk, and yet they stood firm. They lived in caves, under hardship, in goats and sheepskins. They did not wear a tie that always had to fit, as is the case with us, but they walked along. But they carried noble seed. They sowed an everlasting seed on this earth. The Lord calls them gods, because the word of the Lord came to them. They were human beings, but divine substance entered into them. And they knew that they would share in the resurrection. Yes, Abraham believed in the resurrection so strongly that he could say to his servants, "Stay here, my son and I will go to worship, and then we will both come back." And he knew exactly that he had to offer Isaac as a sacrifice on the altar. And Paul writes to the Hebrews, he was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. We are the seed of Abraham, and we have no doubt about it. The Lord of glory, who himself died, and then took away the power of death, and rose again on the third day, is able to give life. And he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. We who have received God's word have become partakers of the divine nature. This is what we can read in Peter's letter. But we have already emphasized this often enough. Let us summarize. God has made known in advance his plan of salvation in his word. All the prophets foretold a certain part of this plan of salvation. All the apostles then made their contribution under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, at the end of days, God has summarized everything and given us a complete overview of God's plan of salvation. And we are grateful for that. He has spoken from the beginning, and because he is the same, he can and has spoken again at the end of days. Blessed is the man who hears this speaking of God and keeps it in his heart. The speaking of God must not be talked down. It must be heard, received, and believed. There are actually enough groups that talk down God's words into pieces, and you can't get it together anymore. The speaking of God, the word, must be received in the same way as it was given to us. How often have we heard the comparisons from the mouth of Brother Branham when our Lord said in the Gospel of John, "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye have no life in you." And the people said to one another, "How will he give us his flesh to eat?" They did not realize that he had already spoken of the Lord's Supper. They reasoned with their minds. And then Brother Branham says, the disciples understood this just as little as did all the others. But they said nothing about it. They kept the word in their hearts. And then the hour and the day came when they understood the word. That is exactly what we did by the grace of God. Sometimes Brother Branham also made sayings that are like Paul's, which Peter writes are hard to understand, and the unlearned and unstable rest them unto their own destruction. But thanks be to God that there are those who are not ordained for destruction, but to hear the word of the Lord, to keep it, to receive it, and also to believe it. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Everywhere the apostles have spoken and written about the return of the Lord. We are living in the time when all this will happen and when the Lord will come again. Do you all believe it? I believe it with all my heart. Our Lord is coming in our time. There is no other way. It will be so. This is not a feeling, but the signs of the times clearly point to it. In the days of Luther or Wesley and all the other days, the signs of the times were not here yet. The handwriting was not yet on the wall. But now, the time has come. And everything God has said is a reality. One nation will rise against another. There will be famines, earthquakes, and costly times. And the Lord says, these are the beginning of sorrows. This is the beginning, the introduction to the last phase. We have had all this, and it is still partly now. At the very end, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, they will say, now is peace and safety. And then sudden destruction cometh upon them. We know perfectly well that in beautiful Switzerland, which is and will remain neutral, here the superpowers are negotiating, and the Lord laughs and mocks them. There is only one superpower, and that is the omnipotence of our God. All other powers, all other kingdoms are doomed to failure. The kingdom of the Lord is eternal, and all other kingdoms will be subject to it. And when Brother Branham says in that one sermon, if you want to seek the throne of the princes and the kings and the rulers from the past centuries and millennia, then you must dig in the ruins. All the thrones are gone, but the throne of our God stands firm from eternity to eternity, and his kingdom is the kingdom of God, and we are allowed to be in this kingdom. While negotiations are taking place there, military build-up is done by day and by night. And it seems ridiculous to the most stupid person on the street when you hear the great and the wise talking. You can really feel and know that. But the Holy Scriptures must be fulfilled in everything. The day of the Lord will come, and it will burn like an oven. And I say to you, God will arrange it so that it will be properly heated. God will cause the fire to reach a certain temperature that all the elements will melt in fervent heat and all the wicked. Do you know what they will be? The material used for heating. They will be stubble. I can't help it. Today they may all walk around proudly. And the word of God says in the prophet Malachi that they will be like straw and like stubble. And the day of the Lord will burn them up. What good is all their boasting today? They are straw. They will be bundled up. And you know that when straw is bundled up, there is good heat. If it's loose, then it's a flesh in the pan. But when it's so nicely bundled, and the Holy Scripture says that all the tares will be bundled and the wheat will be gathered into the barn. We can't talk about all these things. I would like to emphasize one thing. Let us be thankful for the deep revelation of the Word of God in these days. We all would have gone along not knowing what God was up to. But now we have heard it and rejoice that the Lord has spoken to us in a disciple-like way. He has taken us aside and speaks to us as a friend speaks to his friend. He called Abraham his friend. Even in the prophet Isaiah, Abraham is referred to as God's friend. And at that time, before Sodom and Gomorrah should perish or be burned, the Lord came to Abraham and said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Abraham was the prophet, and the Lord is the Word. He came to the prophet and revealed to him what would happen. As it was in those days, so it would be in the days when the Son of Man would be revealed. And today we can say, this scripture has been fulfilled before our eyes. It has become a reality. Even the names are similar. You may say, huh, is that a coincidence? Do you know that the name Branham was originally spelled without an H? When Brother Branham's father had to flee to another state because of a certain matter, he wanted to change these names a little in his new home country so that they wouldn't catch on to him. And this is also a providence of God. We sometimes ponder and think, why is this and why is that? With God, everything happens according to plan and in a nice sequence and also in an order. We may not always see it that way, but that's the way it is. Back then it was Abraham, a name with seven letters. Now it is Branham, also a seven-letter name. And the Lord is still doing what he has set out to do. Blessed is he who takes no offense at me. And we have already talked about this. He who is in the light of God does not stumble at all. On the contrary, they walk in the light and are grateful for what God has done. Beloved, may God bless us together. Let us take home from these meetings that we are dealing with the living God, and every word of God is absolute truth and is reality. No one can change it. Just as He has said it, so it will be for all eternity. And this is where our faith rests. We do not hold on to the Lord, but He holds on to us. And that is why He will lead us through to the end, and He will finish His work in us all. In closing, I would like to commend myself that you pray for me. I know that you are praying for me, but I would like to ask you to pray even more fervently for me, that God would pave the way for me. You all know that as far as God's plan is concerned, He has given us insight by grace. But now, we want to be put in a position to carry out this plan of God. And we ourselves want to be an integral part of this divine plan in the end times. After all, we have been placed in His kingdom. Remember me in your prayers. And you know, or most people know, that we will now rest for 14 days in Israel. Remember me, and when I walk there on the streets where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the prophets, and our Lord walked, I too will send up my voice and my sighs to Him and say, Lord, look upon me with favor for the sake of your people. Hear us, bless us, and help us by grace. I would like to pray, as Solomon prayed at that time, not for the death of any enemy, or for riches or honor. Solomon prayed, O God, grant me wisdom to lead your people in a way that is pleasing to you. I want to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit clearly and distinctly, and we all. And we have a right to it, and God will give it to us by grace. Praised and blessed be His name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to our God, that we were allowed to hear these precious words by grace. And I think that James not only addressed these words to his contemporaries, but they are also addressed to us in these last days. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Yes, are we not meant here? Are we not meant? Is not the coming of the Lord near? We have heard it. Yes, it is near. The saints waited. James, John, Peter, whatever their names may have been, they all waited. And they called out the words to the people. Be patient, therefore. Yes. It is not so easy when he goes on and says, here in the next verse, behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, if it has already been said in those days, perhaps someone today would say, they probably made a mistake. So many years have already passed. Beloved, we have to see the divine things, as Brother Frank said today, spiritually. And we must remember the word. Peter says it. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. They have seen the coming of the Lord so near. And we may say, indeed, we may wait for it now. We have arrived in the last church age. It has already come to an end. The coming of the Lord is very near, and we have heard it from our dear brother. Everything that is written in the Holy Scriptures and spoken by the prophets will be fulfilled. But when it comes to pass, dear brothers and sisters, shall we not be thankful to our God? Should we not praise our God? You know, in Psalm 68, our brother has read the opening word. Here it says in verse 20, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Oh yes, may that be our watchword, brothers and sisters, dear friends. May all of us think about it every day, and may we praise our God every day and thank Him for our salvation. In verse 21 it says, He that is our God is the God of salvation. This God is the God of our salvation. Beloved, He has not only redeemed us, but He will save us from this terrible day that is coming. That is marvelous. I would like to say, the Bible does not make empty statements. The men of God spoke, driven by the Holy Spirit, and what they said will be fulfilled, because God spoke it through them. And we are so grateful for that. Beloved, not all people see these things, only those who have been pardoned by God, to whom God has opened their eyes and their understanding for His word. We know too well, you can present a drawing to a person, and if he is not knowledgeable in it, and has not learned and been enlightened about it, he will not know what it all means. But God has opened up His word to us. Just as a drawing is opened up to someone because he was taught it, God has opened to us through the Holy Spirit His promises, His mysteries, His word, which He has left unto us until our day. Beloved, we do not want to boast about this, but we thank our God day after day, because He is our strength. We don't just say that. We fully agree with this man of God. And we know that if He had not been our strength up to this hour, our enemies would have eaten us alive long ago. But He was our strength, and He is our strength, and He remains our strength. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, beloved, we do not lean on anything as we see or hear it in our days, on safety or disarmament, on this and that. The more they talk about it, as we heard it, the more they arm themselves. And it all has to come, because the scriptures say so. The fire must come, because God's word says so. My brother has already quoted it, and God's word does not lie. It is the absolute truth. When God spoke to Noah, "Build the ark, it will rain," many may have scoffed and said, "What is this fanatic talking about? This crazy bald head. Rain, where does rain come from? We have sunshine. It's so peaceful. The weather is so wonderful. And he's talking, rain is coming." Yes, he was talking. And they laughed and mocked more and more at this old man. But he had been instructed by God. And he believed in the one who spoke to him. Brothers and sisters, we must believe in the one who has spoken to us in these days. And I would like to say, it is the same one who spoke to Noah. And his words have been fulfilled. Praise be to God. And his words will be fulfilled even in our days. However long it may take, people may say, it's been written in the book for so long. It's just a fairy tale book. And anyone who believes something like that must not be very clever. Let's say it, the clever ones should stay clever. But we want to be those who are not clever. And we want to stay not being clever. And that's good that way. You know, it was the same in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was only the laity. It was only the unlearned. It was those who knew nothing. Oh, how they were rejected by the clever ones. But they were so wise when they heard the voice of the Lord that they received him and they believed his word and they took it into their hearts. And whatever may come, they may have wavered back and forth. After all, they did not yet know everything, that he must die. Many things were still hidden from them, but they persevered and believed. And God knew their hearts. Beloved, many things may also come upon us. And if you read on here in James, it says from verse 9, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned." Yes, we must take this very much to heart in these days. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Oh yes, we must take them for an example. As my brother has already said, they had to go through many things, through much revilement, through much contempt, and in the end, they had to suffer a bitter death. But, beloved, although they may have stood alone, yet they did not stand alone. They stood by God's side. And God was with them, and they knew who was with them. Perhaps no one saw it. Perhaps those who were around him did not see who was with this man. But they were not alone. God was with these men. And they went through thick and thin, through many a trial, through many a suffering. And here James calls out to us, and also to his contemporaries, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Yes, that's the thing. They did not speak on their own authority. but they spoke in the name of the Lord. They had to speak on God's behalf because they were commissioned to speak. God commissioned them, and they had to endure many things and suffer much for the sake of His speaking. But they persevered steadfastly in all of it. Dear brothers and sisters, this is to say that many things will also come upon us that may seem strange to us. But it should not seem strange to us. But we know that we have to go through everything. And Brother Frank has already said that you say thank you for the good things. But you know, the Bible says, as we have heard, that we should thank God for every situation we may find ourselves in. And you know, I believe that the apostles of our Lord took that very much to heart. For it is written of them, when they were imprisoned there, that they began to sing praises to their God. Isn't that marvelous? Yes, of course. It is not easy in such hours when you are imprisoned, but they had nothing left to lose, only something to gain. And you know, we can see a lot of what came out of it. Beloved, I think we too have nothing to lose in this world, and not even in this time. No matter what people say or what the enemy wants to do, we know that we are in His hands. He carries us day in and day out. And beloved, when an ache comes sometimes, we shouldn't take it so seriously. We realize that completely different things can come. How will we cope then? But we should look up to our Lord. And then this man of God went on to say, behold, we count them happy which endure. And then he takes another very special man as an example and shows him to us. And that is probably Job. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That is something marvelous. Yes, Job's situation was not an easy one, right? And the Bible reports it here and presents it to us. It tells us that we too can get into some things. But Job, despite all the attacks, even those who should have comforted him, were hostile towards him. Even his own wife said, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as a foolish woman. Yes, beloved, that's the way it is. But he kept faith. He persevered. And then we can see the end that God prepared for him. Did he have a good end? Oh yes, the end was marvelous. Beloved, that tells us that we too will have a marvelous end. It will be marvelous. And we are so glad and so grateful for that. We are so grateful to God, especially for His precious word. And I would like to say that there may still be many things to come. But let us stand in faith. Let us stand in His grace. Beloved, I would like to call out to us once again the words, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Yes, that is something marvelous. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Yes, the Lord Jesus once told His disciples in the Gospel before He left that the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God service. They should not worry about that. Whoever kills you kills only the body. But no one can kill the spirit. That's the marvelous thing. Beloved, here it says, the Lord God knoweth counsel even against death. His own, whom he has redeemed, whom he has purchased with his blood, they do not die. They only cross over. I have said it here before. I read it in one of Brother Brim's sermons. He says, people are so concerned about dying. He says, I don't care about dying. I care about living. I'm just crossing over, he says. Oh yes, of course. He was waiting for it. We are all waiting to cross over into his glory. We are so grateful to God. Dear brothers and sisters, for my part, I would like to thank you all very much for coming. But I would also like to say one thing to you. It is not by chance that you have come, but it was someone who drew you. Not a brother Frank, not a brother Rus, but one who unites us. He drew you, and you came, and God blessed us together. He brought his word before us. He has bound us together in his bond of love. And even if we may not be able to express it, not be able to hug and squeeze everyone the way we would like to, but the love of God is in our hearts. And we love you all dearly and are joined with you. We are not proud, but God has put us each in the place where we belong. And I would like to say once again that we should thank God for that. I want God to place you as witnesses in every place where you are, that you can be a light to those around you and be witnesses of the Lord and tell people the way of redemption, the way of salvation, before it is too late. The hour is coming when it will be too late. The coming of the Lord is very near. That's why he called us, brought us together, that we may be strengthened in faith, in trust. He will continue to lead and guide us. Amen.